This episode of For the Birds has been greatly condensed from the blog version, which was just too long for a radio spot. People long ago must have realized that some birds are aloft at nighttime, especially in spring and fall. Nocturnal migrants vocalize from above and can be seen flying past the moon. German farmer and amateur naturalist Johann Andreas Naumann, a contemporary of Thomas Jefferson, noticed that even when kept indoors in cages, migratory birds get restless near and after dusk in spring and fall. In the decades and centuries since Naumann first wrote about the phenomenon, scientists have discovered that migratory restlessness is strongest and occurs over the most nights in long-distance migrants, and is also exhibited at least somewhat in short-distance and even non-migratory birds. A 2023 study tracking migrating habits of 9 species showed that 90% of long-distance migrating birds take off within 69 minutes of dusk, and that birds are far more likely to migrate when the barometric pressure has been rising during the previous 24 hours, regardless of wind speed or direction, cloud cover, or precipitation. Migratory restlessness has a directional component. In enclosed spaces where the sky is not visible, birds still attempt to move southward in fall. A huge body of experiments has established that they detect magnetism. This has been studied extensively in pigeons and bobolinks. Particles of magnetite in bird heads and cryptochromes, blue light photoreceptors in bird eyes, are known to help the birds perceive magnetism. Although we know that pigeons use magnetism to find their way home when it's cloudy, we also know that their primary means of navigation whenever the sun is visible is to use the angle of the sun to fly towards where the sun should be at that time of day. How do they know what time it is? Those cryptochromes that help sense magnetism also help maintain a bird's circadian rhythms. We also know that many migrating birds use the position of the setting sun and its bands of polarized light in the evening to orient themselves. Taking off within 69 minutes of dusk almost certainly helps. Once aloft, they use celestial navigation. It's fascinating to realize that during their first summer, baby birds not just vaguely notice, but pay close attention to the night sky, little by little figuring out which one of all those stars up there never moves. Of course, much of the night sky can be obscured by clouds. Birds learn the patterns of stars and how they change over the course of a night so well that even if Polaris is obscured, they can stay on course using the pattern of the stars they can see at that time of night. Night flying birds probably use some easily recognizable visual landmarks, such as coastlines. As they get closer to their destination, some use their sense of smell. The section of a bird's brain corresponding to the olfactory center in most mammals is very small, but it's comparable to the relative size of our own human olfactory center, and I know olfaction can help me find my way to a bakery or direct me away from a landfill. Sure enough, we now know that some pigeons, European starlings, and Eurasian blue tits use olfaction as one tool in their navigational arsenal. Hearing is also probably important. Recognizing familiar sounds below probably helps them make decisions about where to land. My cell phone serves as my personal navigator, accurately helping me get to pretty much anywhere I want to go. It weighs in at 8.7 ounces, so tiny for something that does so much, but it's heavier than 25 average-sized northern Perulas. And I'm not just talking about those birds' navigation systems, I'm talking about the whole shebang. The more we understand about bird migration, the more truly miraculous it is, the kind of everyday miracle it's easy to take for granted. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.